Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You can take me hot to go. It's VGC, the video game podcast with me, Jordan Midler, and Aidan Bain. This week, gaming, retail, memories, and the seedy underworld of the Pokemon EUIC. But first, how are you, Aidan?
I'm good. Back after popular demand, apparently. Is that what you told me, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Definitely not the most available person I could get since Piscillions and a caravan. although that will probably limit the amount of wrestling chat there is this week, because you're not a wrestling man, are you?
I had a friend back in the day that was into it. I know you're, is it Rey Mysterio does the 619?
Hell yeah, come on.
There we go.
That's about knowledge.
That's about all I've got for you. I know who some of the guys are.
Yeah.
Are you going to explain to me how the story is finished? If you saw Dave Bautista,
you want me to explain how the story was finished? Well, thankfully I've got this this prop right here, this WWE title. Although this isn't the current WWE title, this is an older one.
Because I didn't get the memo with that, whereas apparently every games journalist has to be into WWE.
Yeah, when you go and get your badge and your gun, you get like anime or WWE or like some kind of like other... if you're Andy, you get football. I've really been afflicted with a lot of them. I'm big football, big WWE. WrestleMania was very good. Everyone came back. It was like Avengers Endgame with like the John Cena and The Rock and Undertaker. Everyone just materializing for 2 minutes. But this isn't a WWE podcast. That might surprise a lot of people. This is a gaming podcast, and I've been at a gaming event this weekend. Well, technically, it was last week, but I went to Pokemon EUIC, which is the European International Championships, as you well know, hosted from London's XL Center. The EUIC takes place every single year, and it's essentially the last stop on the kind of competitive Pokemon road, if you like, before you get to the World Championships, which are in Honolulu, Hawaii this year. And let me tell you something, Aidan, I will not be going to the World Championships outside of a medical, because how much do you think a flight from Glasgow to Honolulu costs?
At least a few Pokemon cards, I would imagine.
One or two. when I looked on BA, with all my points, it would have cost me a grand return to get to Honolulu. A grand.
Surely it's worth it. Are you not committed enough to the cause?
See, honestly, if it was like a week-long event, then I would like maybe think about it, but the event is a weekend and sure there'll be stuff around it, but you would have to fly from Glasgow to London, London to LA, LA to Honolulu.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. You think that everywhere has a direct flight from London, but no. But I got to go to EUIC, got to go to the Pokemon Center, which was in the XL again and has been fully reserved for months. So there were people just walking through the XL because there's also a Disney event on at the XL. These kids were seeing the Pokemon Center saying, let's go and have a look. They would walk up and these jolly people holding like Pokemon big signs would go, completely sold out, you can't come in. And the
Not
kids
today, bud.
Were gutted. You could see that moment on the parents' face of like, how do I deal with this? You've just generated a tantrum that's going to last like the whole weekend. But it was cool. It was nice to see people. Saw Joe Merrick, the webmaster of Cerebi, the greatest Pokemon website of all time. A website I've been using since I was like fucking 10 years old. And now I just know that guy. And also he's like the same age as me, which really makes me feel stupid. You ever meet people like that? You're like,
what, my age?
Well, I suppose I always think you're my age because you're like
I'm like 1 year younger than you.
8'7" But you know what I mean, though? You meet someone and you're like, how can you have been doing stuff when I was young? You are also young. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was nice. Nice to see Joe. The Pokemon Center is a weird thing because I wrote about it on the website this week. It's weird to me that they've not done a proper retail location because everything has a stupid shop. There's an M&M store. People were queuing to get into the M&M store in London. Queuing to buy chocolate that you can buy in fucking Asda. Queuing.
I've seen this place. Like, I've walked by the M&M store a couple of times and just it's perplexed me a little. I mean, certainly I am not a Pokemon person.
No.
It may surprise you. But I do know of its size considering the town that I live in. When Pokemon Go came out, even my local park had like dozens of folk out doing it. And I live in like the worst place in the world, so.
It was a genuine cultural phenomenon, Pokemon Go, on top. Mm. Like, you see I saw a graphic that might be incorrect, but I don't think it's very incorrect. If you combine like Marvel and Nintendo and Disney and like five other franchises, they have still made less money combined than Pokemon has. Like, Pokemon is the most successful media property in the history of the human race. And I feel like people underrate that for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for like people like me, it's always one of those things that just never made sense. I watched like a little bit of Pokemon like when I was young, you know, there was like a movie.
You're the right age for it, to be fair. You're like...
There was a couple of movies or a movie. I just remember I do remember one day having a tennis ball and being like, this is my Pokeball.
Nice.
And pretending to throw it down. And that was about, you know, when it just bounced off the wall. I was like, all right, this is as far as I need to go with this.
Yeah, when a 17 foot dragon didn't emerge from it, were you quite disappointed?
But it seems to be one of those things that just, it is what it is, you know, like it's such a massive property. I'll never fully understand it, but you know, I don't need to understand everything.
Yeah, I really love it. I want them to do a permanent retail location. I've asked about this and it's weird because the Pokemon IP is controlled by three different companies. Like, Nintendo owns a bit of it, Creatures owns a bit of it, and Game Freak, who are like the developers of the main game, own a bit of it. So everything is hyper controlled. Like, the messaging on Pokemon is like very, very specific. Andy tells the story of back in the day, if you put like a Pikachu on your magazine and you like stretched it slightly, so it was to the naked eye you couldn't tell, but like brand guidelines would like come down your throat, phrasing, about the squinty Pikachu. So yeah, it was a cool weekend, a cool day rather. I wanted to stay for the weekend, but things came up. I went to see Hamilton again, which
Hamilton's
never going to complain about.
I've seen Hamilton.
What did you think of it?
It's all right.
You know what? For a non-musical man, I'll take that.
Yeah, I think I did lightly not fall asleep in like a bad sense that it was boring, but I'm like a man of like, if a certain temperature requirement is met, I will sleep. Yeah. So that place was warm. So I just, you know, I just sit back a little and I doze for a little bit. But I've watched like my wife's a big musical person, so I've watched the
also
Disney
a big Swifty. I would get on with your wife way more than I got on with you. I think we can have established this at this point.
Yeah, but it's all right. I liked Heather. I watched Heather's recently. That's better.
I mean, that's a ridiculous opinion, but I respect it. Everyone's got to have their favorites, don't they?
Yeah, it's better.
I like it. I can't get into this. I have a Hamilton tattoo. I can't be objective. But yeah, good weekend. I also got to go to a Larian event to play Divinity Original Sin, the board game, which when we all went into this event, which was in a lovely kind of tabletop RPG pub in London, like the staff behind the bar had like elf ears on and they were all dressed up, fantastic atmosphere. We went down into this basement bit. We were handed a gin that when you poured something else in it, it changed colour. It was great. And then we got to the tables and there was 50,000 things laid out for this game.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to get this. I'm actually going to feel it's such an idea. But people from Larian. In our case, the great Aoife Wilson, formerly of Eurogamer, ex-journalist, gone but not forgotten, now at Larian, she took us through the game. And within like half an hour, we were into it. Like, we got the rules. We were like role-playing our characters, like taking it pure seriously. And I love taking things seriously in games like that. Like, I hate it when people take the piss. They're on their phone. They're not paying attention. It's like, it completely ruins the vibe for me. But it's one of those things that I feel like for your first few goes, you really need somebody that knows their stuff. You need someone to be to basically ask, like, can I do this? Because there's so many rules. Like, they said that there's basically each page of this massive book as like a scenario or like a mission. And they were like, oh, there's like 100 of these, and every time you play through it, you'll only play through 3 or 4. So you could play this game for like 80 hours. And I'm like, what? And then you see that it costs like 150 quid, and the box is like the size of a Subaru Impreza, and you start to understand. But
is it like, are you much of a board geek? I've never really been in like a situation where I can be involved in something like that.
So I'm kind of the same in the sense that like, I enjoy board games whenever I play them, but like when we have like get-togethers and stuff like that, we're just drinking. Yeah. Like, we're not playing board games, we are just drinking.
There's not like,
you know, well, we are just drinking.
In Scotland, there's no need for anything else. Maybe some music on in the background. That's as much as you'll get as a distraction.
Yeah, Monopoly is probably the limit because everyone just has like the rules ingrained into them, but.
I do like a wee bit of Articulate.
Oh yeah, Articulate is good fun. But this is one where you could have like a wee cider while you're playing and stuff like that. But you want to be on it because there's like a lot of... It emulates a real RPG, like a real... It emulates a video game RPG very well. Like, I was super impressed with that. So yeah, that was cool. I was only in London for 2 days, but it felt like I was there for about 40 years. Not only because I spent about 40 years salary in London, but just...
Are you hitting up the kind of the goblin accents or anything like that?
Oh, I was like a rogue. I was like one of these sexy lady rogues with like double daggers and stuff like that. So I wasn't hitting up any.
I'd love to hear Jordan Middle's take on a sexy rogue.
Well, that's the thing. I can do like the orc voices from those Lord of the Rings games. Where
yeah,
like,
those come natural to you.
Yeah, exactly. You killed me last time and now I'm back, man. That's how I'm going to talk as my sexy lady rogue. Would you like to come into my room and look at my bosoms? That would be the episode title if I was in charge. But yeah, hell of a couple of days. Thank you to Larry and thank you to the Pokemon Company. Good folks. Let's get in to a couple. We've got a couple of stories this week. It's been a bit of a light week. Let me tell you something. Shit is getting booked for Summer Game Fest. Not to rub it in, but shit is happening. Saber Interactive CEO Matthew Koch believes the $70 game will be a thing of the past, citing that companies basically want to mitigate risk and that pouring all this money into a game that people might not buy is dangerous. This kind of ties with something I saw last week that said that more players than ever are playing quote-unquote old games. I think this referenced games that are like 6 years old, so that included like more people are playing Fortnite, GTA 5 and stuff like that than they are new games. What do you think of this? Let's broaden it to, let's be kind and say, I don't think he means like $70 games are going to go back to 60 or anything like that. I think he means the big budget AAA Spider-Man, like Halo, your big games, that these games are going to stop happening. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like from a consumer point of view, 70 does push it to like a new limit. Because like even I know I would be really, really choosing what I was buying if it was 70. And it changes your perspective of what you want from a game. It does sound like, though, that these things aren't really sustainable considering the length of time it takes to make them. And what was one of the things with the, you know, like Spider-Man? Is Spider-Man actually that profitable a game considering how much money it took to actually make it?
Yeah.
And if you're getting to the point that a game like Spider-Man isn't necessarily like a bona fide like hit, you know, maybe you're putting too much, like the gamble isn't quite there. And it's obviously the more money they're putting into these things, the less they're going to make back. Because I don't think it translates that way, as we've seen and mentioned by that guy, like Helldivers. isn't going to be as expensive a game, but it's probably making crazy money, especially because you go £35. Like,
yeah, it's like, what's the this is obviously economics, but like a game like Helldivers costing £40, did they end up making a lot more money than Insomniac does based on the amount of money that Insomniac had to put in to get the like £70 game out?
And it's also, I suppose, like a bit of the twist of the old freelancing thing that it used to be, but I suppose the opposite way about was like double your money, but half the amount of people that are buying it. But then I suppose with these games now, you're wanting to like reduce the money and more people are buying it. And I think in this scenario, like that's working out better because so much of games now as well is about word of mouth and like this or like media attention or social media attention where like a game's becoming like it's getting memes and TikToks and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And having something that's just far more accessible because £70 is like, that's a lot of money, especially if you're like an avid gamer. And you're somebody that says, oh, I want to get like a lot of the big releases. You're potentially spending upwards of like a grand a year just buying one game a month or something like that. You know, it's really, really expensive. And I think that's why you see so many games immediately going on the store at like half price. I just noticed Suicide Squad, £35 now on the PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
You know, like that's...
I have to keep in mind... Every time we talk about this, we get games for free, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I remember how I used to feel when I would go into Game, who, more on them later, and they would always have games at retail price, so $49.99 and like the and that era. And then that's why I would go to Game Center, because they would always sell them for like $39.99.
Yeah.
And even then I was like, 40 quid, that's like, that's two £20 notes. When you're that age, £20 note is like the pinnacle of money. And to use two of them on a game, like it better be good. So the idea of like another £20 note on top of that and a tenner for something like fucking Skull and Bones? You joking?
No. Quadruple A, mate. Sorry, yeah. Come on.
Ah! if I begged Mama to take me to Game and I had like 60 quid, and I was like, oh, please give me an extra 10. I'm so excited to play Skull and Bones. Got that up the road, and then you have that crushing dread as you play it. That feeling of you've wasted your money. I'd be devastated.
I had one opportunity and I'd done it on this game. No. I do remember buying, I think it was maybe Spider-Man 3 on the PlayStation 2 in like an Asda or something for like 22 quid. Mm-hmm. Those were like, those were the good days. But someone tried to correct me recently where Red Dead Redemption, when it came out, I swear to you, it was 40 quid. I'm pretty sure I got it for 40. Because I remember I get £10 pocket money a week, and I saved up, saved up for 4 weeks to get Red Dead Redemption. And like, you know, but now if you're, you know, it's tough for...
Who was trying to correct you? Because that is true. Because I also got Red Dead Redemption at that time and it was 40 quid.
Just commenters, innit?
People it was probably
go, you honestly, said 40, but it was actually 50, and I'm like, well, no,
it was
I
probably
bought it for
$49.99 in game. But if you actually bought your games for game, you are a clown.
Yeah, it's the same thing when they went up to 50. Game selling them for 60, same as what is on the PlayStation Store. It's selling for £60 now compared to like you buy it on Amazon, you get it for 50.
So, I left my gran's funeral to go and buy Red Dead Redemption. That's not a joke. That's not even a joke.
The time for grieving is over. It is time to start a new life.
We'd done the funeral and we were at the wake in the Abbey Mill Hotel in Paisley, if anyone knows where that is. It's a grim hotel. And I was just sat there like, well, this is pish. Like, what am I doing here, man? Like, I'm so bored. Like, I've had it was sad at the funeral, but now all my family's
now the food's been out. Like, what am I doing here?
The sandwiches are shite. And I was like, it's Thursday. And Red Dead is out tomorrow on the Friday. I bet Game Center have got it. So I walked over to Game Center with my mum and I was going, I'm so sad.
I need something.
Yeah, I need something to make me feel better. And I went up and I was like, you get Red Dead Redemption? And he did the old look to the left, look to the right. No one here. Under the counter. There you go. Red Dead Redemption. Already in a silver bag. So it never came out of the bag.
I never had the hustle in me when I was a kid to do stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I've always been a massive chancellor.
Yeah, the most I got was when I bought Alan Wake 2 when I was 15 and it was a 16. And the guy said to me, what age are you? And I was like, oh, I'm born in this year. And I saw him do like this and he was mm-hmm. like, just take it, man. And I was like, okay.
You bought Alan Wake 2 when you were 15?
Sorry, the other one.
Alan Wake.
the prequel to Alan Wake 2 that was Alan Wake 1.
That's actually, Aaron actually only... turned 17 this year. Congratulations to him. Push Square hiring child labor as usual.
Yeah, I look old for my years, you know.
But yeah, that was actually buying Red Dead at my grand's funeral story was actually going to be my gaming retail story for later, but I'll have to come up with a different one. I think this isn't the case in terms of $70 games going away, because there's always going to be a place for these big games. People want them, people get excited by them. I'm personally gutted that there's no, like, to my knowledge, there's no big budget first party game from anyone coming this Christmas. Like, I get excited for that stuff.
Yeah.
The closest mm-hmm. we're getting. I thought that Star Wars Outlaws trailer looked cool. I think it'll be fine. I bet it's a Ubisoft game, but I bet it tickles my exact what I like. It will make some reference to some daft Star Wars character, and I'll be like, "Oh,
God, is that like the little mate, robot from that one time?"
Mate, all they need is I don't actually know if this would work timeline wise. All they need is Cameron Monaghan to turn up as Cal Kestis for 2 seconds, and I'll go, "There we go, 5 stars, congratulations, everybody."
I shows me how much Star Wars has died a death for me. When I watched that trailer, I didn't feel a single emotion. I just was like, okay. And I liked Jedi Survivor as well.
Good game. Cameron Monaghan, nice boy. Friend of the mm-hmm. show. Friend of the me.
friend of the me.
I met Cameron Monaghan for the first time. I say first time as if I'm going to meet him regularly. I met Cameron Monaghan, and then I walked for 2 minutes on the Hollywood Boulevard, went into a mm-hmm. bar, and you know who I met for the first time in there, Aaron? Pete Donaldson. He was out there for WrestleMania.
Pete Donaldson, the
producer of this show. He was out there.
Oh, right. Sorry. You just see the way you said that there. I started thinking Pete Davidson. I was like, what?
Pete Donaldson is similarly a famous shagger. But the things Pete Donaldson did to Ariana Grande, that poor girl. But he was out there for WrestleMania, and I went into this seedy-ass bar, but this guy was outside smoking a joint. He was like, you 21? And I was like, mate, look at me. I look like I'm fucking 51. Let me in. Him and Pete Donaldson and Mark Haynes, Wrestle Me podcast. Check it out. Another stack production. Aaron, how much would you pay for a Call of Duty Kong glove?
At least £2,000.
Oh, well, you're in luck because it's only 80, although fans claim it's not worth it. This item was a special little bonus if you bought the 4 operator packs that came out for Kong X Godzilla. Have you seen that? Is that out yet?
I have seen it.
Is it good?
It's a movie.
Okay, there we go. Not interested. So they released skin packs. So you got an operator, you got some guns, you got like fancy shit. Those were all £20 each. Which is a lot of money, but all the operator packs are £20, so that ship has unfortunately sailed. I spent £20 on Messi, so let's just get over it, everybody, okay? But if you bought all of them, you got... does Kong wear a big glove? A big beast glove?
Let me explain a little bit.
Yeah, explain
the lore,
please. Yeah.
There's an ice Godzilla. An ice Godzilla hurts Kong's arm. He gets frostbit. So then, of course... Mm-hmm. They've got a glove. It's like it's some stupid name like Operation Slam Dunk or something. I don't know. So they gets a big metal gauntlet.
So it's got a prosthetic arm. Kong has a prosthetic arm.
No, so it's just like a metal thing over his arm, so that he can, you know, it's a pair of knuckle dusters for him, basically.
Oh,
aye, big. That's basically what it is. So this thing, like the thing, I suppose, the angle of this that I coming more familiar with it, is that it's not like the Kong glove itself is just like £80. So you're still getting presumably lots of other wee things. It's so just if you want that particular thing.
If you were to buy like everything in this like group of things, you would get like 4 skins and like a million guns and all that stuff. This is just the bonus for getting all of the stuff, which is why it's like It's like, it's funny. I think it's funny more than a scandal, but people, some guy on Reddit bought it and it was like, holy fuck, it was not worth it. I thought it would at least ragdoll enemies, if not corpse launch them. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it would have been a nice feature.
If it, see if it sent guys like across like, the map, that's when I, and you, that would actually have been genius, because see if they did that and then TikTokers started posting that stuff, loads of people would buy it. Like there's tons of people would buy it.
What I would have loved even more is there's a bit in this movie where Kong picks up a little baby Kong by the feet and just starts fucking like slamming other monkeys with the baby Kong. If they had that in the game, then we're talking, you know, 80 quid, that's nothing.
So you want Sol McTavish to pick up a monkey and like slap other Call of Duty men with it? I mean, I'm not against it. That game has gone so far like to the ridiculous. Like,
do you still play that game?
I've not played Warzone in ages. Well, I've not really played anything that wasn't a review game and this year because I've just been like chaining them. But I got back into Warzone briefly and... I don't mean to sound like a fucking TikTok nostalgist, but it will never be lockdown Warzone.
You'll never get that. I remember like being like kind of excited for the new one, and then I played it once, and I was like, all right, and just never touched it again. Like Call of Duty ain't it for me these days.
See, I go through phases. Like I prestiged in Modern Warfare 2's multiplayer, and I think that was largely because my partner wanted to play it, and those maps are perfect. Like the Modern Warfare 2 map set is like. Genius, like there's nothing that could improve upon it. So doing that was fun, but I think when I play Warzone, what I'm looking for is just impossible to recreate. Like the fun of like streaming it with the 97 Bill shirt and like playing with my pals and stuff like that. I know, God rest them, the greatest I've got the 97 Bulls jersey behind me, the greatest Warzone team that ever was. Won 5 games in one night. Look up. Well, you can't actually because. All that stuff's privated. Because I've not went through to see what I said. but yeah, Warzone is like... I play a bit with Andy and stuff like that, and it's good fun, but it's just so hard to get back into because people are so sick at it. Like, it's really demoralizing when you play for like half an hour, don't see anybody, then the first team you see, you just get wiped. And like... That is obviously the learning curve for these games, but when you've been to the top of the mountain to the point where you're winning games, getting shot back down to that is really frustrating. It's not like the gradual, oh, we're going for our first win kind of thing.
Yeah, I do know exactly what would help you.
What?
A sick-ass Kong gauntlet.
I'm going to invoice it right this minute. I'm going to invoice the coin gauntlet. I'm going to invoice the Kong gauntlet and flights to Honolulu. And a hotel at the Honolulu Convention Center, and 5 million Pokemon cards, and another replica WWE title. So, if I'm unemployed, I will be giving Push Square a shout. Because what you need is more big, blowhard bastards. When we are back, news about a Dead Space 2 remake or not, Japanese arcade chat, and your memories of gaming retail. See you in a minute.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we are back. Some sad news. A Dead Space 2 remake has been reportedly shelved. This was unfolding overnight after a friend of the show, Jeff Grubb, said it on his show. Jason Schreier then came in and said that it was actually the Dead Space team's next project, which they'd put Dead Space 2 on the table, put a new Dead Space on the table. It could have been either of them, but apparently there was lackluster sales of that remake. I'm quite sad about that because I thought this is another thing from the gaming bubble. Everyone seemed to be peering into that remake, but it didn't seem to cut through.
Yeah, did. I mean, I loved that. I had never played the original one. I played 2 and 3 when they first came out, so I was really excited for the remake. And it genuinely is probably one of my favorite games now. Like, I had such a good time with it. And I love the idea of... I'd thought about a new Dead Space, obviously, but I love the idea of playing 2 to that standard. As someone that really wasn't into horror so much back in the day, so I liked Dead Space 2, but I wasn't like... I was a shite bag, basically, so just like cowered my way through it. But yeah, this is quite sad, especially since it's the whole thing with like Iron Man game.
I mean, like, see if they just use the flying from what the hell was that, Anthem, and make an Iron Man game. I mean,
well, I'd rather Anthem. I'd rather just made Anthem 2.
Yeah.
The long-awaited sequel that we really deserve.
Tell me one thing that happened in Anthem from a narrative point of view.
I just always remember the inside of the suits looked quite cozy because they were kind of cushy.
Yeah.
That's that's all I've got for you, man.
I remember that if you flew through a waterfall,
it
cooled your suit down so you could fly more.
Yeah.
And it had a really nice... steam effect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The flying in Anthem, great.
Can you imagine Anthem now, like on a PS5 with the haptics? Oh, come on. I was so gutted when they cancelled that like revamp of that game.
Like, it was obviously an absolute balls game, but it had something in it. There was like a wee something in Anthem that made me finish it, and like.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you a single thing that happened in it though. At one point, the guy who's your pal turns out to not be your pal and like steals your suit or steals another suit.
Mate, all that matters is it's satisfying to shoot aliens and fly about. Like, you don't need the lore there.
Mate, you're basically reading my Suicide Squad review verbatim. As long as the shooting and the numbers fly out, I mean, come on now. I like that. I never played Dead Space Remake. I'm not a Dead Space guy. I am, however, Dead Space. Have a mutual respect for it. Not that Dead Space respects me personally, but because it's from that era of EA games that gave us Mirror's Edge, one of my favorite games ever. So not that you would need a Mirror's Edge remake, because you can play Mirror's Edge today and it still looks incredible, but the idea that that tier of game still pushes us further away from a Mirror's Edge 3, where we're all desperate to go. We want a new Church's song. That second Mirror's Edge game isn't as bad as everyone says it is. You're all liars. It's fine.
I always wanted the shoes from Mirror's Edge.
The ones where she's got like split toes.
Yeah,
she's got like Klingon toes.
I was like, I bet I could run fast as anything in those things.
Of course you were looking at her feet throughout the entire thing. Anyone that listens to a now defunct podcast knows exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, God rest it. but yeah, this is bad timing because the industry is obviously going into this phase where it's never going to be more risk averse. So you're not, they're not going to be okay with like fine sales. It was going to have to be a banger to get a new Dead. I think a new Dead Space would be absolutely amazing.
Think
of the rip and tear tech, all the like sinew and stuff like that coming. It would be beautiful, but it's not to be.
You know what I genuinely think is that part of the impact and the sales, I reckon, on that game, if it's not really hitting the expectations, I bet Callisto Protocol had an impact on that. Because while we would go, Dead Space is like Dead Space and Callisto Protocol is Callisto Protocol, I bet a lot of people just went, oh, cool, like sci-fi game, where you, you know, it's gory or whatever, I'll buy this one because it's out first. Oh, I've seen this in the shop. And then it's the next month and there's a new version, like a different one. And it's, as we're going back to it, £70. I'm not spending £70 again. I bet that's like the process that went into like a lot of people, which is a shame because like Dead Space is ultimately the better game. But a new entry would be so good. I would like, I was really, really gutted about this. But saying that, with them working on Battlefield as well, I'm a big Battlefield guy. Like, I love Battlefield. So I'm always like one of those guys that's sitting inside like, if they could just get it right, they'd dominate. They, you know, the whole COD versus Battlefield thing. I just feel like we felt like that with 2042. It didn't quite work out. But then they brought it back to a kind of respectable degree. So if they done something special with whatever's next for Battlefield, it could really hit. But yeah, it's a shame that Dead Space is kind of collateral damage as part of that.
Yeah, I agree. God rest it. The number of Japanese arcades has declined by 8,000 in 10 years. This is sad, especially because Japan, the cultural home of video games, is very important to anyone who's picked up a pair of sticks. However, as someone that's never been to Japan, have you been to Japan?
No.
Okay, two people that have never been to Japan, a man that I know that is, he's got Japanese running through his veins, is Pete Donaldson. I asked him for his seediest arcade experience, and he replied that he was once in a Japanese arcade with a Pro Evolution arcade cabinet, and it had a USB connected to it. So, Aaron, you see a USB connected to something that's very obviously a computer. What's your first instinct?
Probably stick my finger into it. That's probably my first thing.
Clip that. Get that clipped. Get that clipped, please. I'd appreciate that. Thank you. Pete disconnected it. An alarm went off and the game shut down, meaning that the entire game was running off this wee USB stick. I love that instinct of just being like, oh, what would happen if I just ripped off this thing that is clearly integral to the running of this machine? He also said there's a lot of piss games and that when you go into the urinals.
I would have liked a little bit more clarification on that because I've never came across a piss game myself.
Liar. I assume that this means that the urinals have like motion sensors in them, so you have to like piss on targets.
Like who can piss the hardest?
Yeah.
Like one of those ones is like filling up the balloon or something, first the piss balloon.
To paraphrase Kevin Bridges, you stand there, get a semi to get a bit of pressure behind it. Oh, Kevin Bridges and his games, get him on this podcast.
Is it?
So is Frankie Boyle. Shout out to the Here Comes the Guillotine podcast with friends of the show, Christopher MacArthur Boyd, Frankie Boyle, and Susie McCabe. But yeah, the arcade scene's a weird one because I don't think I've ever been alive during a prosperous arcade era. Like when I was young, even like when you're in Scotland, what is an arcade? Like it's got like fruit machines,
the penny
falls
arcades,
and like stuff like that.
That's what you get. You don't get games.
There's a really good arcade in the St. Enoch Centre now, like at the top floor. It's like full of like modern games, like new stuff.
That's not NQ64, is it?
No. It's got like tickets and stuff like that. So it's got like skee ball and like the basketball games, but it's all new stuff. And it's got like the 4-player Halo game where you like hold the combat rifles and stuff like that.
That's cool.
It's got the Mario Kart game. All that stuff is nice, but that's like a new kind of thing in Scotland because we Neds would like destroy any old stuff. So when I eventually make it to Japan, I mean, I watched so many vlogs of people like cutting about Japan, and it seems like there's still thousands of arcades. So was it just a case where it used to be every street there was 50,000 of them?
So like, do you like actually like that stuff though? Like if you, because I don't mind going to like an NQ64 to check it out, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, most of the time I go to somewhere like that, I'm straight to like the Guitar Hero or something.
Drinking. Oh yeah.
And what was it? There's a Crash Bandicoot styled cocktail. I like that one.
It's
got the mask on it.
I think that is the one that me and Ben Starr drank about 5,000 of at the VGC night out, and Ben was still copacetic, and I was like, You in Final Fantasy, mate? You Clive Rossfield. So it's Clive, that was a very nice one. Clive Rossfield.
Yeah. So do you would you like?
No, I don't think they're real games. Look, arcade games. I just they're like little trinkets. They're like they're wee distractions. But unless the only exception to this is fighting games, because fighting games are basically the same. But fuck it, people that are like, oh, what's your favorite game? Time Crisis. It's like. Get out of my face.
So the thing, this is the thing though with this, is it's sad, it's one of those sad realities, I think, where just they're kind of phasing it out. It's like, I loved a Blockbuster. I used to love going to Blockbuster at the weekend. Now it's not a thing, and I don't think there's really a place for it. I think that's not to say necessarily where it's going, but it's just not, I don't think there's a world where it can be as wide scale. I think that's why somewhere like, to talk about NQ64 in Scotland or Britain does so well, because it's very like, there's one here, like there's one in Glasgow, there's one in Edinburgh, there's one in Manchester, whatever, so you have to seek it out, and it's like a nice little thing to go to every now and again. But like, if there's six of them, cut 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 cutting about in Glasgow,
yeah,
how many people are actually going to those things?
No, I agree. It's like, it's, and also having only one of them and having like the Guitar Hero machines and like the like PlayStations with like loads of emulated games, it gets people that aren't really into games, but they're like, oh, we'll go and play FIFA, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah,
feel like a Tetris machine though.
Oh mate, see if there's a Tetris effect machine that gave you a little tab of acid before you played it, I'd be all over that. Final story, it's a sad one. Game is reportedly making layoffs. Mike Ashley, the big fat bastard, is continuing his destruction of the UK high street by putting everyone allegedly on 0 hours contracts. So if you're affected by that, which I know some people who listen to this podcast work in game, I mean, shock horror, we are sorry for your shitty ownership. I asked on Twitter for memories of buying games from a video game establishment. Aiden, I'd like you to come up with one while I read some of the correspondence.
Okay.
Alex Donaldson, frequent contributor to the show, says, my favorite memory of working in one was a teenage lad bringing in a huge stack of 360 games with his mum, and when I was going through checking the discs for trade, one of the games had a little bag of weed. Another was home to pornography. This is a recurring thing, people trading in porn. He was just bang embarrassed about the porn, but when the mum saw the weed, she dragged him out of the shop, leaving all the games behind. £350 worth of trade in, they never came back. The number of times people traded in PS2s with porn discs still on the drive happened loads. Saw some real niche shit through that, I can only imagine. Ian from Capcom replies, I was going to say the PS2 expansion slot was a gold mine for weird, horrid stuff. A scrunched up page 3 and some wood lice was the peak for me.
Oh. I could just imagine like a game black market going like all the stuff that get traded in that wasn't really game stuff.
Dave Beans, since we're here, I worked at CEX for a while, and yes, people trade in phones without wiping any of their personal data whatsoever. You see it all. I wasn't even working with the phones and I still saw it all. God, I can only imagine. I bet you that's how loads of criminals get caught, trading their phones into CEX, and the people look at it and they're like,
How to rob a bank. Just
hold on a minute. Kirk McKean, I once traded in a limited edition copy of Demon's Souls, and when I got home, I realized the disc was still in my console. They paid me like 30 quid for an empty box. Good stuff. That's what we like.
Nice.
SJB, old HMV on Sucky Hall Street sold Batman Arkham Asylum on release day for a tenner by mistake. Ooh,
that's nice. That's nice.
Did you ever go to that old game, the one that was like right up the top of Sucky Hall Street?
The one that was like the multi-story one?
Yeah.
That was nice. That was nice. That
The HMV not game. Yeah, that was the.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an HMV. The top floor was the gaming bit that eventually I think became a game, but it was like that shop was so cool. I remember specifically, not to bring it back to wrestling, that they had the biggest wrestling DVD section I'd ever seen in my life, and I would always go there and like look at the stuff that was like the bloodiest cage matches and stuff like that, and show it to my mum and try and hide the fact that it was an 18, and she'd be like, fine, just get it, like whatever.
Yeah.
Ryan Mack says, GeForce Wednesdays are midnight FIFA GTA releases up at the Fort in Glasgow with the troops. Always remember the GTA 4 launch. Queue for game was 10 mile long, and the word crept down the line that HMV was open as well, caused a stampede. Midnight launch. Did you ever go to a midnight launch?
Yeah, I went to a couple. I think I was at Fallout 4, I seem to remember. I remember trying to get Metal Gear Solid 5 when it first came out at midnight in Asda. Mm-hmm. I thought, I'm going to be a wee bit obscure about this. I'm going to go to Asda instead, be ahead of the curve. And obviously, when you ask them for a video game, they're like, what's a video game? And you have to like explain, you know, that big poster that you've got right in the front of your store. Do you want to get me that, please? So then she went down and got the thing. I waited ages. And then as we're waiting, there was just this guy came in and he was like, oh, can I have a pack of fags or something like that? And they're like, "Ah, cool, cool, cool." And he goes, also a copy of Metal Gear Solid. So then he took the one. So then she had to go back and get it again. And she was saying, I'm not sure how many copies we've got. The guy standing next to me was like, we might be racing to game. And I was like, hi, mate. And he's like, I'll beat you. Like, dead serious. Just like, I'll beat you there. And I'm going to get this game before you. And I'm like, all right, pal. And I was like, I was like a teenager at the time or something. I was not that old.
Yeah.
Threatened by an adult. But yeah. A couple of midnight games, though.
I've told that story a million times, but for GTA 4 launch, I went to the Asda that my aunt worked in, and there was like 50 people waiting. And at 11:45, she just went and grabbed my copy, handed it to me, and we left. My dad was like, we're going to get battered. And she was like, oh no, just go, get out of here. And then I obviously didn't go to school the next day because I just played GTA 4 like all day. That grey ass, brown ass game, kicking about Liberty City.
I played the game, but I didn't play it till years later. That one. Talking about game though, I have a couple of stories about game. Well, one was like what I felt was like the big elaborate scam with them was you buy a game, you've got 10 days to trade it in at face, like you bought it for 40 quid, you trade it in for 40 quid and you'll like exchange games. I had a full summer where I just like 10, hell every 10 yeah. days got a new game. And oh, it was amazing because I played like, this was like heyday, like Arkham City's coming out and all this, you know, so I get so many like good games. And then the day I came in, it was like, it'd been like 3 or 4 months of like just so good playing every game. And then they eventually were like, nah, mate, we don't do that anymore. And I had to trade it in. Got it. I think Bulletstorm was the one that fight my final game. I think
it's a not bad game. That's a fine game, Bulletstorm. It's all right.
Yeah, I used to love that game.
Satisfying to like reel people in and shoot them. Couple more. Hazy says going to GeForce for Burnout 3 and getting it on the Tuesday before the release on the Friday and having 100%ed it by then and being accused online of having hacked it. Also getting Gears of War from GeForce earlier and being told not to sign into Xbox Live as I would be banned. that is a thing. Like the peek behind the curtain. Like very occasionally when you're reviewing something for multiplayer, you'll give the company your gamer tag. I still call it a gamer tag even though it's not that anymore. Your PSN ID?
It's a gamer tag. Yeah.
So they'll like whitelist your name so you can play it early, but there are people that just get, because I mean, think about the worldwide retail like machine trying to put these games out. Of course stuff comes out early. That's why I always think it's like, I always think it's a bad idea for companies to make review embargoes for massive games like the day before, especially if they think it's going to be like good or whatever, because by that time the messaging is gone. People are like practically already playing it. In the case of the Nintendo Switch, people can just download the game off Pirate Bay or whatever. allegedly. I've never done that. That isn't even me being sarcastic. I've never done that. But the old getting banned from Xbox Live thing was a real threat. Josh Brown says, various times walking into a local one that imported stuff from the US, getting Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald in the Pokemon Ranger game months before the proper release, it blew my mind in primary school. It was fun taking them to the odd pre-launch events. That is the old... I missed that era of importing stuff when it was like mysterious. Like, well, you can import stuff. You went to a wee shop in Glasgow that has import games. Nowadays, you can just like go on Amazon Japan and they'll ship it to the UK with no problem. But
yeah,
like I imported a copy of Demon's Souls, and I felt like, because Demon's Souls wasn't published in Europe originally, or in PAL regions, for some reason you couldn't get it in the UK essentially, and I imported a copy on the PS3. It was like 70 quid, and my God, what a game!
You've been paying 70 quid for years now. You don't need to go back.
See, thinking about it now, that actually puts in perspective. I was like, oh, because I felt like I had to love it, because I was listening to all these American podcasts, Podcast Beyond, shout out, and being like, oh, it's like the greatest game of all time. It's like this totally mysterious thing. And I was like, well, I need to try it. I need to play it now if I'm going to be like if I'm going to be a games journalist, I need to take this seriously. And thankfully, it was amazing and completely impenetrable. But yeah, Demon's Souls. I'm trying to think, do I have any? So I've told the getting my PS4 in a bin bag story. I've told the getting Red Dead for my granddad. And I've told GTA 4. My house is there. Oh yeah, when I worked in Game Center very briefly for my work experience, I sold someone.
Work experience at Game Center.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I sold someone the Dead Rising 2 like Zombrex edition that came with like a fake syringe, but I just sold him the empty box and he just went away. And then the next day he came back and it was like there was nothing in that. And I was like, oh yeah, I was meant to put this stuff that was like under the counter into it. Like, thousand apologies.
And that's why Jordan got the sack on work experience. I did have one where you remember how you used to grab your game and you'd be just like sitting reading it so like,
yeah.
Obsessing over every detail. I do remember doing that and being like, this is the game I want this game. So I went up to my dad and I was like, fucking still reading this. I was like yanking him and I was like, dad, this is the one. And it turned out it was some random guy like harassing him. Oh, I'm so sorry. But I also once got offered a job at Game, like, as in I was just there shopping and like, do you want a job?
Like, nah. That's a real dig at how you look. You look like you fit in here. Jesus.
Yeah. My wife always used to go out about the smell of a game. She said it smells like boy. She just always.
Oh. Right. I think that'll be us for this week. Next week, I think. Oh, we'll have a special party. We'll have the normal podcast, and there will also potentially be a special interview episode, but I can't remember if I'm allowed to say for what. I'm fucking going to London on Monday as well, so there'll be some mad pish then. Going to see GTA 6, looking forward to it. Until then, send any comments, questions, and concerns to podcast@videogameschronicle.com. What you got going on this week, Aiden?
We got some reviews coming out next week. I've got a lovely little top 10. I had a game, actually. There's a video that I really liked making about, I don't know if you've seen this demo that was on the PlayStation Store. It was called Potato Sack Racing Simulator 2024. It was like the top spot on the demo page on the PlayStation Store. And this game, like, I thought I was going to lose my mind just getting through the demo. The less said about it, the better, I suppose, in terms of this. Just watch the video on the Pushquare YouTube channel.
I missed that, unfortunately.
What, you tell me you don't dedicate, like, you don't watch every single video of mine, Jordan? Is that what you're saying?
No comment. until next time, you can follow me on Twitter @JordanMidler, Aaron @AaronBain_. We'd like to thank the great Grant Kirkhope for the VGC podcast theme and Gambit Gaming for their t-shirt considerations. Check them out, VGC, at checkout for 5% off. Until we are back, say goodbye, Aaron.
Goodbye.
And we'll see you next week.
VGC, a video games podcast, is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.